Hello, I'm Juliana Needham, and this is Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. This week, we are heading to Japan, where a major shakeup in takeover rules is leading to some big developments in the world of M&A. I'm joined by Raiha Mahmood, who is the Deputy Japan Bureau Chief based in Tokyo. Hi, Raiha. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Juliana. Thank you for having me.
So the first half of 2024 was rather on the slow side for M&A in Japan compared to some other years recently. Can you talk through if that's changed and how the market's looking at the moment?
Yes, of course. The Japan M&A market witnessed quite a strong year last year. And anticipation was running quite high among deal makers entering 2024. So according to our data, total value of Japan targeted deals at the end of first half this year was, it wasn't so bad. It just wasn't anything radical compared to the past few years. But while we saw the numbers, we did know through conversations that we've been having with experts on the ground that there are multiple activities in the works at the time. So now we're approaching the end of third quarter, and this pipeline of deals we were expecting looks to be finally taking shape. Japan targeted deal value this year to date is has exceeded $133 billion. So that's up 4% compared to the full year of 2023, and the emphasis on the full year. So it's not even the same period last year, but for the full year. Considering we're still in September, we're quite optimistic about what deal flow will look like in the remaining months of the year.
And can you explain what the reasons are for that increase in deal activity? You said there were quite a few things in the pipeline earlier in the year, but can you elaborate on that?
Of course, it's very hard to ignore the string of corporate non-core divestitures or carve-outs. And take private deals, which actually they often coincide as listed subsidiaries are likely disposal candidates for Japanese conglomerates. We also see a number of takeover deals, including hostile or I guess now we call it unsolicited takeovers in recent years. And 2024 is by no means an exception to this. These types of deals have shown increased presence in Japan's market. Not only in terms of the number of deals, but also in terms of their significance to the market or their notability. And what is triggering these types of deals is it's really a blend of factors. Corporate governance reforms have really made headway here, including the government's new M&A guidelines set forth last year, which is essentially a code of conduct for corporate takeovers and outlines best practice responses to unsolicited offers, among other things. And the Tokyo Stock Exchange is also increasingly putting pressure on listed companies to improve performance. So, for example, pushing them to unwind cross-shareholdings, which we also often refer to as parent-child listings here, or just generally asking companies trading below book value to issue plans to improve their valuations. So these are driving listed companies to review their businesses. So putting them in a position where they have to decide whether they need to, one, buy out their listed subsidiaries if they're core for them, or alternatively sell them if they're non-core. So either way, it's likely to turn out to be a take private scenario. And others are coming to terms with the idea, or maybe they're just coming around to realizing that they could be a target for these unsolicited takeovers, and that now they will not be able to just unilaterally reject such a bid. Under the new guidelines that I mentioned, they are going to have to, quote unquote, sincerely consider such a bid by setting up a special committee of outside directors. What this also translates to is a new openness to unsolicited takeovers. So this was once considered taboo, and it really still kind of is among Japanese companies. But we've seen unsolicited takeover attempts over the year that have resulted in takeover deals like the chilled and frozen logistics deal or the Roland DG deal. And then moreover, shareholder activism is another element that is becoming more widespread, where activist roles have become increasingly influential. And that only contributes to generating more deal opportunities, including take privates. And kind of on the other side, you know, where there is supply, there's also demand. And more companies seem to be turning to private equity investors for take private transactions. The competition for assets are intensifying with more global sponsors entering the market, more local private equity players increasing their fund sizes. So we've been following, like we see a lot of these corporate disposal situations that we as Merger Market were actively covering earlier this year. These are now announced, but they kind of coincide with private equity involvement. So take Mitsubishi Corporation's sale of KFC to Carlyle, Alps Alpine selling Alps Logistics to a portfolio company under KKR, Teijin's sale of Infocom to Blackstone. So all these elements are now kind of have sort of aligned to create this exciting M&A scene here.
So it sounds like those government reforms have really helped push through a load more corporate activity at all different levels, with the carve-outs, with the hostile takeovers and companies having to consider those properly. Can you talk through if there's a particular sector, or you mentioned some deals already, but are there any other deals worth highlighting that kind of demonstrate what you've been talking about?
Yes, by sector, if we look at the data, retail is leading the way for Japan-targeted deals. This is largely thanks to the colossal $58 billion takeover proposal from Canada's Alimentation Couche-Tard. Apologies for the pronunciation. For the Japanese retail giant 7NI Holdings in August, as announced in August. This, if it really pans out, would mark Japan's largest ever takeover by a foreign firm. So that's quite significant. And then there's also been other iconic domestic deals like Lawson, which is in fact a competitor to 7NI in the convenience store space here, being taken private in a $3.3 billion deal by telecom major KDDI, beverage giant Kirin Holdings, take private of Fankeru, which is a cosmetics and health food company, for about $1.4 billion, and then another retail giant, Aeon, acquiring Oasis Management's stake in a pharmacy business, Tsuruha, that eventually led to its delisting. So you can see that the top sector deals touch on some of the key drivers that I mentioned before, takeovers and take privates, as well as activist involvement. Separately, an ongoing deal that's kind of talk of the town now is KKR's $4 billion tender offer to privatize Fujisoft, which is a systems developer, and what would be the third largest Japan-targeted deal or the largest private equity buyout for this year to date.
And that Fujisoft deal is getting a lot of attention in the market at the moment. Can you explain why that is?
Yes, the backdrop of this deal is that in August, KKR announced its intention to launch a tender offer to acquire Fujisoft. They were aiming to launch a takeover bid on the Tokyo Stock Exchange in mid-September. And then that was followed by Fujisoft announcing its endorsement for that proposal. So what happened next was that Bain Capital announced its plan to submit a binding counter proposal in October, ready to offer a bid around 5% higher than that of KKR's. So this possibility of a battle between KKR and Bain has sent shockwaves in Japan's private equity space, where head-to-head clashes between these major global private equity houses rarely take place. So the very fact that Bain is ready to make a counterproposal after the target had already recommended KKR's offer is a game changer here. So just imagine, you know, a successful bid by Bain under the scenario would really set a spectacular precedent. The situation, of course, is still unfolding. And it seems like the likelihood of an actual bidding war may have dimmed slightly. now that Fujisoft's major shareholders, 3D Investment Partners and Farallon, have signed off on KKR's offer, the entire ordeal is still quite unusual, at least in the Japan context. So now KKR has additionally announced it will change its takeover bid method to a so-called two-step process, which apparently entails eliminating its original condition for the minimum acceptance level and essentially creating an extra second round of the tender offer without changing the offer price, without changing the offer period from the original tender offer. And this, I am hearing, is also unprecedented here. So it's really history in the making.
Great. We love some history in the making in on Dealcast. But it sounds like quite an exciting moment. You've got the two of the biggest private equity firms in the world potentially going head to head. One of them potentially tabling an unsolicited bid for Fujisoft. And it against a wider context that there seems to be lots and lots of corporate activity happening following those takeover rule changes last year. Is there an expectation that there's going to be more activity like this? Because it certainly sounds like it could be that way.
There seems to be a bit of a mixed sentiment about that in the market. Some of the experts that we've spoken to are of the opinion that more private equity firms, both global and local, would partake in these types of deals, or at least use the Fujisoft deal as a case study for future reference, simply due to the limited pool of attractive targets out there. You know, it's getting quite crowded in Japan's private equity space, and that means fiercer competition for buyouts. And the gradual change in attitude towards unsolicited offers could also further pave the way for such a trend. As we spoke about earlier on Japan seeing more unsolicited offers, some experts also said that there is precedent on strategics having entered similar bidding battles. So why wouldn't it happen between PEs? You know, after all, the government's new M&A guidelines could naturally prompt not only corporates, but also private equity in making bolder moves in instances of unsolicited takeovers. On the flip side, we're also hearing some people question whether aggressively challenging and counter-proposing private equity winners that have already gone through an official sale is really a feasible approach to winning deals going forward. So I think this is from the cost perspective, as you'd be spending on additional costs and fees in a process where your bid may not even end up being successful. So it also seemed that, you know, some private equity firms or general partners are not even allowed to execute unsolicited takeovers under their contracts with limited partners. And then others were saying that, you know, they're being a little bit cautious or wary of any potential reputational risk such a move may pose. But, you know, all in all, I think the general consensus is that the very fact that a scenario like that of Fujisoft emerged, or that there is a possibility for this kind of plot twist, is what is quite interesting. It's really symbolic of the new phase that Japan's M&A market has entered. And I'm guessing there is more in store for those of us watching.
Great. Well, Raihe, good to speak to you. We'll finish there on the plot twist. Thanks very much. That was Raihe Mahmood, who is the Deputy Japan Bureau Chief based in Tokyo. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it and please rate and review the show. To find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, please have a look at the show notes. Join us again next week.